Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Check out tens of thousands of technical articles on our new knowledge hub on farmersjournal.ie.
Now, over the past 12 months, of all the animals, bats have received very bad press, but that hasn't stopped a caring animal lover, Susan Kerwin, from opening Ireland's first dedicated bat hospital in her back garden in Brewery, County Limerick. Susan founded Bat Rehabilitation Ireland due to an increase in the number of bats needing help in this country. Now, she works all year round treating bats and then releasing them back into the wild. Quite an unusual pastime. Well, our own Batwoman, Brenda Donoghue, visited the Bat Rehabilitation Hospital.
Hi, Brenda. So,
this is the Bat Hospital.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to
stay here at the door, yeah.
I'm just going to show you our newest patient who arrived. He's just arrived yesterday. It's a little soprano pipistrelle, and this is the smallest species of bat that we have here in Ireland. This little fellow came in yesterday weighing under 4 grams, which is totally underweight for this little guy. He was found by a lady in her garage. She was drawn to him by the sound, and it had been her cat that had pulled him out of his hibernation. Very, very
tiny.
Very tiny. Now, we feed bats mealworms when they come in. Mealworms are easy for us to buy. We can buy them from the pet shop. But also, they're very high in protein and in fat. But we also use a very special type of food for the bats when they first arrive in, and that's a recovery food. So the recovery food that we use is designed for cats and dogs, but it works quite well for the bats. So what we do, once he gets a little taste of it, you can see, how cute is that? Little and often when they come in, not very different than ourselves or how we treat a human that's not well.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but he's so worth it. Look at this little fellow. Each one of these little bats, these soprano pipistrelles, they can take anything up to 3,000 insects per night. So you'll be very glad to see this little bat, this little guy back in the air again.
It's very quiet in here because it's hibernation season.
It is. So at this time of the year, starting in November, when the temperature begins to drop and all the insects that the bat feed on are starting to disappear, bats reduce their body temperature from 37 degrees to under 5 degrees.
Why are some bats not asleep?
So some of the bats that would have came in due to predation, and that they have tears to the wings, like the little fella that you just met, or puncture wounds. When the bat is in hibernation and it drops its metabolic rate so low, what this also does is it suppresses the healing process.
Okay.
So this one I'm going to introduce you to now, he's a male Leisler's bat, much larger than the first bat he's given out to me. So this little one is Leisler's bat, and they're the largest species of bat that we have here in Ireland. I'm going to pop him back in because he's not very happy with me today. Bats use echolocation to catch their prey. So it's a series of sounds that they make to their nose, in particular with the horseshoe bats. But in the long-eared and the other Vesper bats we have here in Ireland, they use a series of clicks that will send out a sound, and then the echo comes back and lets them know where they are or what's around them. So he knows that you're there and he doesn't want to fly into your hair. He can avoid you. So don't worry about that. So that's a myth.
Well, there's no hairdressers open at the moment. So, I mean, there's no laws anywhere.
It's going to be hard enough to get a bat out of your hair. So, but, you know, so that's something that people do. They do tend to worry about, you know.
So, Susan, all these bats here, once they start to feel better and they're healing, talk me through the process.
Okay, so once they begin to wake up around March, April, we're going to be moving them outside into the bat flight. So you can see the bat flight here. So in the bat flight, we have bat boxes up, so they'll get used to roosting outside again, but they're also going to get acclimatized as well after being inside. So once they start building up their strength in here and they're getting used to foraging for themselves again, the next step then is to get them back to where they came from.
Susan, it really is some setup you have here.
Thank you very much.
How did you come to bats? Like, why not dogs? Why not cats? I know you love all animals, but why bats?
So my love, my passion of bats came about back when I was 27. That year I'd been diagnosed with cervical cancer. I had to have a radical hysterectomy and 28 sessions of radiotherapy. And as a single parent and a mother of two small boys, you know, it's everyone's worst nightmare. And but like all parents, you know, life during the day goes on. So we had school runs and breakfasts and dinners to be done and homework. But the night time then was my own time. And I found that very difficult because I was alone with my own thoughts. And I didn't sleep. And just one evening, I remember standing outside. I was having a cup of tea, standing at the back door. And I just noticed the bats, they were flying around the trees and the street light. And I was just completely fascinated by them. So whatever length of time I was there, everything just drifted away and it was just me and the bats, and I was like a child again. And I was so taken in by them, I just wanted to learn more about them. So I'd spend my evenings outside watching the bats. I bought myself a bat detector, which allowed me to find out what species of bats were living around my house. I bought all the books I could think of or could find on bats, and I've been studying them for the last 14 years, and I love them even more today.
What is it about bats for you that connected?
I think it was just how chaotic they look when they're in the air. They're diving and bombing and, you know, swooping around after the insects. We shared the night together. It gave me comfort, and that's where the love came from.
So you care for them.
Yes.
They heal.
Yes.
And then they go back into the wild. What is that like for you? Can you explain that feeling?
It's an amazing feeling. It's giving an animal a second chance at life, you know. I feel that I had a second chance with my cancer. So to be able to do that for another creature, you know, that's what it's all about. So that's where I get the buzz from and the drive from. It's just to see them heading off again.
Go, Swansea.
Isn't he adorable? I told you. Come on now, he's beautiful, look. So I'm just going to pop this little fellow back into his incubator.
You can understand all the stories coming out of China about the virus and the bats and everything.
Of course.
They're not getting a good press.
No, and bats were being villainised as the carriers and spreaders of COVID. But I think this year people have had more time at home and they've had more time to look into this and study it. And surprisingly, the majority of people that have contacted me this year have been extremely positive about bats. And as you can see here, we've 30 at the moment. Up to the 1st of January, I had 158 bats in. And they all came from people that were concerned about them and wanted them to be helped.
You love it.
I absolutely love it. And it keeps me sane, it keeps me grounded. And I just feel like I have so much to give back to them for what I get from it. So, you know, I'm lucky. I'm lucky to do something that I love.
That's Brenda Donoghue reporting there from Brewery in County Limerick. And to find out more about Susan Kerwin's project and her bat hospital there, you can check out her Facebook page, Bat Rehabilitation Ireland.